We're going to get into now the most vital issue throughout church history and continuing today. And that is to know Christ as he is in the Bible. We can be wrong about a lot of things. Prophecies, styles of worship, color of choir robes or church carpet. But we cannot be wrong regarding Christ. In fact, the thing that makes a cult, is that they are wrong about Christ. The Mormons are wrong. They do not believe that he is the Son of God, the eternal God. Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. They believe that Adam became God. The Hindus are wrong about Christ. The Muslims are wrong. And you go through church history and you see that the central error is regarding the person of Christ. And we want to look at that this morning in the book of Revelation, the title of which is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book is about. And so let's look at Revelation chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. And then through chapter 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. Now the context here is well known, that the Apostle John has been taken into heaven and he is seeing and hearing some of the activities, and they're recorded for us. So let's just pick it up in chapter 4, verse 9. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven, or on the earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living elders and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Our gracious God, in our hearts, we're falling down before you. And we join with the church in heaven and say, "Honor and glory and blessed to the Lamb of God." In his name, amen. Very early in church history, the controversy arose regarding the person of Christ. There were many debates, arguments, councils to determine who he is. And some of those councils live today as they concluded that he is God. the Son of God. And the controversy rages today. The crucial issue in this world and in the church is with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. It was then and it is now. Today there are many groups holding interfaith meetings. All religions. But the one person who is ruled out is Christ. You Christians can attend, but we don't want to hear Christ. I remember years ago I was invited to lead in prayer at city councils, to speak at a high school baccalaureate service and preach Christ openly. Not now. It isn't happening now. There is an attempt to remove him from our national life. And I tell you this morning, they will not succeed. And they will not remove him. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. They cannot. Now we're going to approach this text. How shall we approach the text? We will ask a question. How does this passage reveal Christ, or in what way is he revealed here? And first of all, we see that he is revealed as the Lamb in verses 6 through 8, 9 through 12. Several times he is seen as the Lamb. This is what is taking place in heaven. They are worshiping the Lamb who was slain, which means he is the sacrificial Lamb of God. And there is no other. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He is THE. The sacrificial Lamb. The only one. You cannot read the Bible without seeing that the sacrifice of an animal is the paramount truth throughout. Sacrifice is important to the Lord. So we go back to the Garden of Eden. And when Adam sinned, he died, lost fellowship, and he was condemned to sin, to hell forever. Unless God did something about it. And God did something about it. He came, provided a sacrificial animal, and covered them with the skin of that animal, making an atonement for their sin. Atonement means covering. He covered their sin for them. That was grace. God came to them, and God provided what they could not. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the sufficient sacrifice, in that he is the end of all sacrifice. There is no more. For any of us to attempt to add to the sacrifice of Christ is blasphemy. It cannot be. We dare not attempt to add anything human, any works, any nice things that we might do is an insult to the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ. There is no more. Either He is our Lamb or we're trying to be. He's not only the sacrificial Lamb, the sufficient sacrifice, He is voluntary. When He was in the garden, He placed Himself under arrest. When He went through the mock trial, He did not defend Himself. He did not attempt to avoid the cross. And on the cross, He gave up His life. The beating couldn't kill Him. A spear couldn't kill Him. No amount of physical suffering could take His life. He gave it up. I commend my spirit. And in John 10, He said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. It's voluntary. That's who He is. He is substitutionary. In that we read in Romans 5:8 that God gave His love toward us. In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. F-O-R, preposition, meaning in behalf of, instead of. Instead of you suffering the wrath of God and punishment for your sin, He took it. Instead of me suffering the punishment for my sin, He was there as my substitute. This is who He is. He is the sacrificial Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. If He is your Lamb this morning, say amen. Amen. A little weak. Isn't that wonderful to know Him as He really is, the Lamb of God? Now this passage continues to teach us something else. How is He revealed here? He is revealed as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. The Lamb is the Lion. Now, why is He described that way? Because the lion is a conqueror. And the lion has prevailed as the victor. Now, why the tribe of Judah? Well, we go back to Abraham, and to Abraham, God promised that the Savior would come through his family. So Abraham has Isaac, and Isaac becomes the chosen vessel. And through Isaac comes Jacob. And through Jacob comes 12 sons. And Judah becomes the chosen vessel. And through Judah comes David. And through David comes Christ. So He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He has prevailed. Now, let's review this drama of Revelation chapter 5. I'm surprised no one hasn't made a movie or a play or an opera out of this drama. It is intense. The time has come to pour out the seven seal judgments with this scroll. And the Bible is very clear that as this is to take place, that no one is found worthy or able. In heaven, on earth, under the earth, and John says, I wept much. This is an important moment. And John is filled with anxiety over this. And the elder says, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He is able, and he is worthy, and he has won the victory. To prevail means to win the victory, and he has. This is all past tense. We don't live here on earth this morning wondering about the outcome of church history, of secular history, of Iraq and Iran and North Korea and our own country. It has already been taken care of. He has won the victory. No earthly ruler controls. No politician controls. He has prevailed over all opposition, over sin, over death, over Satan, over all kings and ruling powers. He has prevailed. Do not weep. What would be said to us? Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be overcome with anxiety. The Lion, the tribe of Judah, has prevailed. So what do? Rejoice. We rejoice in the Lamb and in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we say hallelujah to the Lion. Say that with me. Hallelujah to the Lion. We're not through yet. You thought we were through. No. How else is he revealed here in this passage? If you look again at 4:11, you will see that he is revealed as the Lord. He is the Lamb, he is the Lion, and he is the Lord, worthy to receive honor and glory and power. And the word Lord refers to him ruling. He is ruling. He is the sovereign ruler over all. All that you could think of. He has supreme authority and power. We rest in that. In Matthew 28, Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me. And in John 17, he says that the Father has given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. And as I live and breathe today and have a newspaper and a television and have some knowledge of what's going on in this world and in society and culture, I don't think I'd sleep whether I had a mastiff puppy or not. It's scary out there. We need to know that the lion and the lamb is the Lord. Over all and above all, the Lord of all. And he rules and controls this morning, and his plan is working. He is in control of human history this morning. Now, it doesn't seem like it. And people sometimes say to me, Bill, how can it be so bad? And I can say, in the light of the total depravity of man, how can it be so good? How can we ever have a moment of peace? It's because he's in charge. His plan is working, his providence is working, and he will bring about the final peace. He will come as the Prince of Peace. The great, almighty, sovereign Lord God is also the Lord of sparrows. He, with all of this, is the Lord of sparrows. Not a sparrow falls apart from him. He is the Lord of you and me. There's nothing about us he does not know. There is nothing about us for which he is not in charge. He's the Lord of our eternal destiny. And we say, hallelujah to the Lord. He is revealed in this passage as the Lamb, the Lion, and the Lord. And his name is wonderful. Jesus, our Lord. He's the mighty King, the Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. And he is worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy to receive our worship. The worship of our entire being. How shall we respond to such a truth as we've looked at? In reverent worship. hallelujah to the Lamb and to the Lion and to the Lord. He's worthy. He alone is worthy. Heavenly Father, we agree with this passage of Scripture that He is worthy to be worshipped. And just now, together here in the church on earth, we join with the church in heaven to say, glory and honor and power and blessing to the Lamb, to the Lion, to the Lord, forever and ever. Amen.